Welcome to the Week 5 Fantasy Football by Committee podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Angelina, and with me as always is John Martinez.
Before we get started, I just want to mention a couple firsts that we are doing right now for the Week 5. First is, mainly for us, we have two microphones now, so if there's a difference in audio, that's why.
Hopefully it's better, and we're not just trying to talk into one microphone at the same time.
Yeah, that was a little awkward. Secondly is, Anthony was on his first radio show on a Sunday night. It was, what, VOC Nation?
VOC Nation.
That fantasy show?
Yep. It was, I believe, the second episode they've had. It runs live from 8:30 to 10:30 p.m.
And it's just streaming, right? It's not...
You can, I believe, listen to it post-production.
Though?
Yeah, post-recording. It was an experience. I'll tell you, I was definitely nervous, but once you get on there and you start talking.
Yeah, then it just comes back. Because I would listen to, like, 40 minutes of it or so, the last 40 minutes, and you guys were doing, like, start, sit, basically, you know, similar stuff to what we do.
Which I enjoy.
Of course, and you just start jumping in. But one of the things I liked was they kept talking about fantasy nightmares, which is funny, all the stories of just people just crashing and burning.
Well, that was the thing while they first... brought me on was to do like a little segment about Fantasy Nightmare, and it sort of just flowed. We really didn't like go into too much, and what I really brought up was the whole how I was completely touting Melvin Gordon last week, and he just could not get it done. And this was the week to get it done, and now I'm done with him. He's done. He's done.
Danny Woodhead did it again, though.
Of course, Danny Woodhead did it again because I love Danny Woodhead, but I was really thought this was the game where they were gonna finally run the ball down the throats of the Browns. But no, like 12 to 38 or something like that. Something ridiculously terrible. Ah, I don't want to. But anyway, the show went great. We should be on again this Sunday, 8:30, 10:30 p.m.
We'll put it on Twitter. You only retweeted it about 30
times. Well, yeah, you'll see it on Twitter. I appear starting at 9 p.m. So, but you can, of course, listen from 8:30 to 10:30. And it's a really good show to listen to if you really like fantasy football. And we talk about the Sunday night game as it's going on as well. So besides that, which I'm sure we'll bring that up again, we'll just get into the week 4 takeaways. My first one is, how Devontae Freeman is obviously legit.
He's too legit, it seems like.
7 TDs in his last 3 games.
And it seems like even with Tevin Coleman getting back, he's still going to be pretty much getting all the touches. I mean, how can you not just ride him right now?
Yeah, no, there's no way Tevin Coleman gets close to that ball more than like 5 times a game if he gets back.
The coaching staff last year for the Falcons with Mike Smith?
Yeah.
Was just that awful.
They
obviously have a lot of talent.
And they didn't really make that significant changes besides, obviously the coaching staff.
Didn't they have a couple people on the O-line maybe?
Not significant enough to what they were doing last year to what they're doing this year. Yeah. I think it's the coaching.
Makes sense.
But yeah, no, he's obviously legit, and he's catching the ball. I mean, I think like 5 for 81 or something like that he caught, which was obviously, I think it was like that was a better day than Julio Jones had.
Yeah, Julio Jones was pretty quiet this week for the first time in a while.
But Freeman is legit, and even versus a tough matchup with Houston. That was he still went off on them.
Yeah, where's JJ Watt? You don't see him working out in log cabins like Rocky anymore. He's getting beat up the middle.
Oh man. Speaking of people who are not legit, let's talk about Joe Philbin being fired after the 1-3 start.
You can see that coming.
I personally,
the Mets and the Jets killed two coaches within like 2 hours of each other.
I thought he should have been fired a long time ago. He is just...
They probably shouldn't have hired him, let him coach this year.
No, I don't think so. I don't think he should have been the coach. But it's actually funny. There's a stat, like 6 coaches of the losing teams in London ended up like firing their coach that season.
Oh, really?
Some weird stat like that. So they just continue that sort of trend of firing coaches. That one was really fast, though. I mean, like literally the next day.
The thing is, though, if you think about it, if you have a bad loss over there, you have the bye week after, so it kind of makes sense. Like, you have a little bit of time to get the new coach acclimated.
Yeah, I mean, the new coach...
Also, their new coach is jacked.
The new coach is...
he's humongous.
He worked with Sean Payton, I believe, in Dallas and New York, and supposedly is really good with players, personnel, and all of that. So he should, you know.
I mean, can't do much worse than Philbin was doing, I guess.
No, you cannot. And he was, I think he was really hampering that. The defense is struggling, but I think he was hampering that offense.
Well, they still have the same defensive coordinator, though.
Yeah, but I'm saying that the offense, I think, was being hampered because of him. Thursday night.
Forsett got back on track.
Yes, he did. Didn't get a touchdown, but still had a nice game.
Okay, like 150 yards. Like, of course, the first week I decided, like, you know what, I'm going to sit him.
I told you, he was waiting for everyone to sit him before obviously, he did something.
But Michael... Yeah, 150 yards. The Steelers' defense, too, is pretty, I think it was at, like, top 5 or 10 against the run, too.
In the first 3 weeks, they were pretty solid against the run, and he carved them up pretty easily. And he got the ball. He actually didn't catch one pass Thursday, which is weird considering a lot of his value last year was from, you know, catching passes out of the backfield. It was all running. I mean, he ran the ball like 25, 30 times, some good amount, which you don't normally see Forsett doing. So that's good for Forsett owners going forward, I'll tell you that. But on the other side of the ball, Michael Vick getting his first start and looking pretty pedestrian, I would say.
He did mediocre. I go. Nothing special. Didn't lose them the game.
But
they didn't win them the game.
Well,
he only had like 100 like 20 yards, I think.
I mean, the bad play call. He should have had 2 touchdowns actually.
The Antonio Brown drop was
he catches that ball more times than not. I mean, that was a pretty good thrown ball. But coulda shoulda woulda. Speaking of Antonio Brown, if there are owners out there who are worried because Vic is the quarterback and Brown had a bad game, first game with Vic.
Don't be worried about that.
I'd go after Brown. I would try and get Brown from someone who is a bit nervous. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's still going to be a top receiver. That's going to have to be, you have to put together a pretty nice package no matter what.
But I still think you could try and pry him away. Remember, he'll be the best player in the deal, considering he's, Julio Jones, he's probably the best receiver out there. Yeah. So if you can give him something like a, I don't even know, like package, like Macklin, who's doing really good with a running back, you know, grab it, you know, sell high on Macklin. I think that might be a deal maybe you can, you know, get for a scared Antonio Brown owner. Going to Cincinnati, we have Jeremy Hill getting 3 touchdowns after doing absolutely nothing the past 2 weeks.
Finally getting back a little bit on track for him. I mean, that offense just looks dangerous.
They do, from the ground and through the air, which is... not going to bode well for other AFC North teams this year.
No, they're on the fast track to winning that division already.
4-0. I mean, that's it's a hot start for the Bengals, who have not won a playoff game since 1990.
Nope.
So, but going back to Hill before we get off him, he did have the 3 touchdowns, but only 9 carries for 40 yards.
So not very sustainable.
So Gio had 11 for 62. So the timeshare is still split 50-50.
That's pretty 50-50.
But they're going to still give Jeremy Hill all the goal line carries. So
that's important.
He might not get the yards.
He's going to vulture most of them.
But he's going to get most of those touchdowns.
You're saying unless Gio breaks one, he's not going to be getting the end zone as much.
Yeah, so you'll get more of your touchdowns out of Hill, which is what we figured would happen, but we also thought Hill was going to get the yards.
I thought he was going to get... like at least like 70%, like 75% of the carries.
Well, we all
like that going in. Like I thought, like they kept saying like he was their starter. You know, he was getting most of the carries, and then that just went out the window.
But the thing is, Gio's playing so well; it's hard not to. And having that 1-2 punch, you know, is always a great thing to have. Because when you can
definitely don't want to go away from that.
Well, the thing is, when you can bring in a running back
that's fresh.
Fresh, and like usually when you bring in the backup running back, it's usually, let's say, on passing downs, and he's not getting the ball. Now you don't know what the offense is doing because you could always hand it off to that back. You know?
That's true.
So it just makes them even more dynamic. Speaking of running backs who are not dynamic.
Talk about CJ Anderson?
Absolutely.
Right. I think Ronnie Hillman's just, I think, surpassed him.
Well, remember, he did have a 72-yard run, which is amazing. Besides that, he was basically the same as CJ Anderson.
Really?
Like, you know, average yards per carry. But
the Denver coaches were saying that they want to get him the ball more now.
Kubiak did say he earned himself basically the 50-50 timeshare. So any value you thought you had as the number one for CJ Anderson is basically gone because he has lost half his carries to Ronnie Hillman. So
that's such a downgrade, for like a first round, early second round pick is just down the crapper.
And honestly, going forward, I'd probably rather have Ronnie Hillman. the way it looks, I'd rather have Ronnie Hillman, considering he's supposedly the better receiver out of the backfield too. Even though he's not really catching many passes, he's still considered the better receiver. That means he'll get more snaps, in my opinion. So
I have him. Anderson one of the weeks, so disappointed. He hasn't gotten like more than like 6 points in the game.
I'm not necessarily dropping CJ Anderson just yet.
You're shopping him though. You're shopping, not dropping.
Shopping. I mean, I don't know who's buying. I'll keep him on my bench. Let's say Ronnie Hillman gets hurt. Means you have a chance. You know, CJ Anderson, in fact, maybe has a shot to prove himself again. But I'm not playing him. No way.
I mean, last year, Anderson didn't really turn it on until the second half of the season anyways.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Stash him if you can. Who knows? I would not personally drop him. Here's a running back you can drop. Lance Dunbar, who is out for the season with a torn ACL, I believe, is what the Cowboys said.
ACL, MCL, I think he's definitely done for the season.
And last two games ago, 10 receptions for 100 yards.
He was getting rushing yards this game.
Yeah, it was like 3 for 50-something, and then he went down.
Yes.
And it just sucks, man. It's like such a hot pickup last week. Everyone was all excited because of what he was doing, especially with Whedon as the quarterback. And
just crushed all hopes of that.
Within two quarters, your hopes and dreams are gone.
Stupid Saints.
Hey, that play was awesome, by the way. It was an amazing play.
I like the emergence of Gurley, too, is another big talking point. He had, 150 yards total?
And he gave up a touchdown. He dropped himself to the ground to run the clock out. He could have had a touchdown.
Ah, what a dick.
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah. I was watching the end of the game, and it was like a minute and something remaining. The Cardinals had no timeouts left, and they just ran a play with Gurley, and Gurley broke it down the sideline. And he could have scored. It would have been close, but he would have, you know, had the opportunity for it. But instead, he just dropped himself to the ground to let the clock run out. So that was like didn't LeSean McCoy do that a few years ago back with the Eagles? I think he dropped himself to the one.
I know Maurice Jones-Drew did that and apologized to the fantasy owners in his post game conference.
Maybe it was MJD did that.
This was like 3 years ago, I think.
But well, MJD is a big fantasy football player, so he understands the plight of fantasy football owners.
He definitely did. He did against the Jets. That's why.
How many games did that just change? So many seasons.
I mean, hopefully it's a short-term loss and gets a long-term gain because the coaching staff will trust him that much more.
It's just
because he's that smart and, you know, game-aware.
But this thing, if let's say you lost by 5 points.
Oh, yeah. Or 6 points. It's going to burn some now.
It could, long-term effects that could have. Let's just say it. I would like to get on to Melvin Gordon again. But I talked about him so much last night on that fantasy show, and
you were chatting him last week too.
Well, because of the fact
throwing out some big stat numbers.
Well, look, I go by stats, and the stats said 4.9 per carry, 158 per game. The Browns were letting up running.
Yeah, you weren't expecting Danny Woodhead to come.
It was all Danny Woodhead, of course. You know, the guy who's usually catching the balls, it ends up getting all the rushing yards as well because Melvin Gordon is terrible. And not probably terrible, but I mean, come on, this was the game. I mean, there was no other game where you were going to do something.
There's still other games that he can play and do stuff, but
12 for 38.
That's not very good at all.
Isaiah Crowell had 12 for 63. Like, come on. You're getting outplayed by Isaiah Crowell.
Well,
it was awful.
He's still a rookie. Maybe he's learning. They also had, like, 4 offensive linemen injured, too.
I did post it on Twitter when I found out 3 of them were going to be out. I was like,
there goes the prediction.
I said, yeah, there goes my Melvin Gordon stuff. But I still stuck with him on DraftKings, and that ruined me. Stupid. I'm done with talking about Melvin Gordon for this.
Also, I feel like another big storyline is that kickers are causing problems for everybody. Missing extra points, missing a lot of field goals.
I think more kickers have been let go in like the first 4 weeks of the season than like the last like 3 seasons combined.
The good ones are that much more valuable now because previous seasons, the point differential between maybe besides like the top couple like Gostkowski and like, you know, notwithstanding, but between the majority of the kickers was pretty small week to week. Maybe, like, you know, a few points here and there. But now, the good ones, I feel they're going to be elevated even more. And there's also the safety that they're not going to get cut. And the lower ones, you know, if they're missing extra points, missing field goals, that's a lot more points that can get taken away.
The pulling back of that extra point to the, you know, to make it a 30-yard field goal
It's doing exactly what the NFL wanted.
But it's not. It's costing so many kickers their jobs. Because
they don't give a shit about jobs.
I understand. I know they don't. But I'm just saying, like, so many kickers are losing their jobs because of the fact that there's been more missed point attempts, I think, in, like,
this year than, like, the past, like, combined, like, 5 years.
It was, like, it was something in, like, 3 weeks. It was something awful. And so many kickers losing their jobs.
I don't know why teams aren't going for two more, though.
That's what Pittsburgh started doing for a while.
Pittsburgh's the smartest team. You got some problems in the NFL. No, but, like, more teams should start going for two, and about, I mean, that'll have fantasy implications too when running backs or QBs get that extra 2 points.
But that does go to your point, though, of what I was trying to say is, like, when they moved the PAT back too, is, like you said, like the Gostkowskis, the Matt Bryants, like, you know, those
kickers. You may want to pick them before the last round next year.
I mean, I still won't, just because that's just the way I am.
Yeah.
But those guys, yeah, they're becoming a little bit more valuable because they are just so, I guess,
consistent.
Automatic, you know, from those.
Consistently automatic, yeah.
You know. I was going to make the Automatica Grammatica, but
whatever.
Last thing I have from week four is DeMarco Murray is, right after the game, decided to complain about how he's being utilized and the number of touches he's getting.
Utilized.
Well, yeah.
They got like 30 touches for a reigning rushing yard king.
I think he. Well, think about it. What happened. Jimmy Graham a couple weeks ago complained that his usage wasn't, being utilized correctly. And next week he comes back and gets like 8 targets and a touchdown. So
what's he doing this?
What's good about this is guess who DeMarco Murray gets to play this week? The New Orleans Saints.
Everyone's favorite whipping boy.
So I'm just, at least for rushing. So I'm saying, if there's a week, I don't have, I should have put him in my DraftKings thing, but probably
we'll
a pretty
we
good.
We do an honorary mention for the
probably a pretty good play this week. I mean, 8 carries versus what is probably the best rushing defense right now in the Washington Redskins. So you really can't say too much about the game plan because they're rushing. I mean, they just have a good run.
They still threw for 3 TDs and still lost.
Yeah. I mean, look. What are you going to... I mean, look. You can't do anything about that. I mean, you lose, you lose. But if you can't run the ball, you can't run the ball. They have a good rush defense, you know? Average 4.5 per carry. But I think Chip Kelly will...
Just, like,
change
break him loose?
I think he will. I mean, you brought him in for a reason. I understand you have Ryan Matthews and Darren Sproles, but you brought
Ryan
him
Matthews
in...
Did. Jack shit either.
Well, no, he only had 5 carries for 20, and Sproles had 4 for 17.
So no one really did that.
Actually, the best one was Sam Bradford, 1 for 14. But, you brought in the leading rusher from last year.
And you also traded away your really, really good running back, too.
Well, look, better off they did. I mean, he's probably going to go. You know what? Actually, it's a good way to segue, speaking of which, to the injuries, whereas LeSean McCoy has a new tear. And could miss an additional 3 to 4 weeks.
Really, that many?
Yeah, they said they're not going to play him until he's 100% healthy. And the new tear in his hamstring, I believe, may make him miss another 3 to 4 weeks. So, Carlos Williams owners very happy. LeSean McCoy owners probably who drafted him in the 2nd, 3rd round not happy.
No. 3 to 4 weeks. That's getting to the point where he might not even be relevant at all during the fantasy season.
I mean. What? So you
he's
have
cutting it close. So that'd be week nine, maybe.
You get halfway through the season. No, it's week five. So week 5, 6, 7. Yeah, that's really.
That's going to be cutting it close.
And by that time,
if you're like fighting for a playoff spot or whatever, and you need a guy.
I'm not trusting LeSean McCoy. I mean,
or trade him away or something because
if someone drops him, I probably would look to pick him up. If I had the roster spot,
if you can
for
stash
it,
him, yeah.
Absolutely. But I'm not, I mean, like I said, I wouldn't drop him. But if someone did, I'm picking him up because, like I said, down the playoff stretch, maybe he's worth something for you. I mean,
he has, Not playing after not playing all year?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
A couple of torn hamstrings?
Look, I'm all about taking some risks, and that's a risk I'd be willing to take. You know, who was a great running back, you know, maybe he might be able to help you down in the stretch. I mean, I know Carlos Williams. Although, actually,
Carlos Williams looked pretty solid.
Yeah, he is. And actually, the Giants give up the least amount of rushing yards per game.
That was actually one of my other takeaways. The Giants' D is surprisingly good.
The rush D is amazing. Like,
they have no line. Is it Spagnuolo? That's just that good? They don't. I mean, John Beeson's, like, pretty decent. He's always hurt, though.
No, but when he's healthy, John Beeson's one of the best linebackers. He was.
He's never healthy.
But he's been healthy now. And their front seven is massive. They're huge bodies, you know? So they're just picking up
they
space.
They take up so much space, there's no lanes.
You know? And they leave, you know? So Carlos Williams didn't have a good day. So, but don't. A lot of people were like, oh, man, Giants are a good matchup. Carlos Williams, pick him up, they have a great day.
Yeah.
He ended up getting a touchdown, receiving a touchdown, which was fantastic because I have Carlos Williams.
Nice.
My opponent, Jay, had Tyrod Taylor. So the only
thing,
he threw it to Carlos Williams. I ended up getting
the points. I was there.
Yeah, so I was the beneficiary of that one. But better weeks are ahead for Carlos Williams and as a starting running back for at least the next 3 to 4 weeks, possibly more. Who knows? Let's see. A couple more. There's so many. Actually, there was so many defensive injuries.
It's not even worth it.
I can't even. There's so many.
The biggest one, and the biggest one, is Sean Lee from the Cowboys.
I mean,
without him, that defense is really bad. I know they're getting back a couple people, but Sean Lee really makes that defense go.
I mean, they missed them all last year too.
Yeah, they were really bad last
year. I know they were, but I'm just saying, it's like there were just so many injuries. Even Vontae Davis got hurt again, and it's like it's. There's so many defenses. But quickly I'll run through Jordan Reed, MCL sprain. He was playing through it, but then got a concussion. So he's going through all the protocols. Mm-hmm. No time, of course. Never a timetable with the concussion protocol because just got to keep.
Who knows? You can't know with that
one. You just got to keep trying to pass the tests. And once you're good, you're good. So hopefully he's healthy to go this week, considering he's on one of my teams. And, you know, you just don't want him to, you know, have those head problems. Last one of note would be Andrew Luck, who missed
his first playoff game. His first pro game.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go. Not playoff game. But he's looking to come back Thursday, which I believe why they left him sit out Sunday because
thinking they could beat the Jags anyways, which
they did.
They almost didn't.
No, but they did, and but now they give
thanks
Luck
to a few missed field goals.
And, you know, the 40-year-old Matt Hasselbeck just, you know, keeping it real.
That baldness.
But he actually does have a partially separated shoulder. No tears. So, but they're still saying he is on track to play Thursday. So,
that dude's tough.
Look, Breeze came out there. Look at the day. Everyone expected him to be out 6-7 weeks.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a separation or a tear or anything. It's just really, it's bruise. So it's just like pain tolerance if he can get the ball out there. Separated shoulder. That's
partially separated.
You try to do anything with a partially separated shoulder.
All right, let's go partially separate my shoulder. And see.
Yeah, you got a collapsed lung and have to go to the hospital for that.
Yeah, because you know, I'm sure Andrew Luck would play with a collapsed lung.
Probably, you never know.
Anyway, so those are all those. There's, like I said, there's too many defensive injuries to go through. Those are the main offensive injuries that happened. Demaryius Thomas. Left with a neck injury, came back. He's fine. Don't worry about Demaryius Thomas. He'll be all right. Let's get on to the next topic, which is pickups. Which, if there's some players on here that I renamed them again, but if you didn't pick them up, even though I've been touting them before,
do it now.
Do it now if they're still available. And one of the big ones is Leonard Hankerson. I've been talking about this guy.
We have been talking to him maybe the first episode.
I think since week one we've been talking about it at least. I mean,
I think I picked him up and dropped him maybe a couple times in one of my leagues.
But he
had a solid week this week.
I mean, he's not going to be the most consistent receiver. I mean, you have Julio Jones who's going to majority of time get the
he gets almost
most targets.
Like half their targets and half their catches.
So there is less to go around, but Leonard Hankerson is the number two. There is no more Roddy White. He is done. There will be maybe one game the rest of the season where Roddy White has a good game, but predicting it,
Impossible.
Yeah, go for it. I'd rather have Leonard Hankerson every week than Roddy White, because let's say there's 10 weeks left, 9 of those 10 weeks, Hankerson's probably going to win out.
Oh, definitely over White.
So, you know, two TDs the last three games, if he's still available and you need a receiver, pick him up, because on a good offense, number two receiver, just do it. I have a bunch more. Do you have any you want to...
I mean, I know you crushed him last week, but with the Dunbar injury, Darren McFadden, I know.
Mm.
If you're scratching for running backs,
what about your boy Christine Michael instead of Darren McFadden?
He didn't get that many touches after the Dunbar injury.
No, but
McFadden was getting more than him.
But over time, do you think they're just stupid enough? They're like, look, McFadden's terrible. Like, we know this. Like, let's get the young guy who was, you know, backing up Marshawn Lynch for a couple years.
Well, I was going back between the two of them. I picked McFadden for now because he was getting seen more of the ball.
I would never touch McFadden.
I mean, I mentioned Christine Michael as a super deep sleeper, I think, week one.
Yeah, you did. I think it was week one. And that's a good... Now, with Dunbar going down, I think he now moves up.
Still a pretty long shot, though.
So is McFadden.
Fair enough.
I'd rather have Michael on my bench than McFadden on my bench. Because you're not playing either of them right now.
Not yet. You gotta see how it shakes out.
But what I'm saying. So you're not playing either of them. I'd rather have the upside of Michael over what we know McFadden can do or can't do.
Also, they play New England next. So they might be behind pretty quick. They're not going to be running the ball.
Yeah, they are playing in Dallas. So that does sort of help them. But, yeah, with Whedon at the quarterback, I don't really think that they're going to be...
Can't trust the Whedon.
Patriots just look like they're unstoppable right now.
We'll see when they face the Jets.
Yeah, of course. A couple more. Duke Johnson.
Duke.
Pretty sure we've talked about him, too, earlier.
Maybe.
I know Allison has him in our league. 10 targets, 9 receptions. Slowly gaining more work from Crowell in the running game. So, I mean, at some point, he's just more valuable than Crowell. I mean,
younger, more talented, probably.
I mean, did you see the play where he scored the touchdown? It was disgusting. They lined up, I think it was like 4 wide.
Oh, yeah,
they put a linebacker on Duke, and he just blew by him.
He made a sweet diving catch.
And Josh just threw it up there. It was perfect.
Perfect throw from Josh McCown.
I know, it's rare. But, no, Duke Johnson looks good. And to stay on younger players, I like Alan Hearns, too.
Yes.
He had 11 for 116 in touchdown.
That's very nice.
Been getting a decent amount of targets. Allen Robinson gets the majority of the targets. Yeah. But it's looking in a way where Hearns may come back to that role that really, like, you know, that deep threat role that he could do. And actually...
Playing Tampa Bay next week, too.
And it looks like...
Pretty favorable matchup.
And with the run game not going as well as they wanted to, even though Yeldon actually had over 100 yards... This week.
Yeah, it's a pretty solid game.
Bortles still threw 50 times.
Really?
So, the targets are going to be between Hearns and Robinson. No one else is getting targets. I mean, maybe, all right, when Julius Thomas comes back, possibly this week, he'll get some of those...
I think they were saying week 6.
All right. So, week 6, even whenever he comes back, he'll get some of those red zone looks.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for those 15, 10 yard, you know, 20 yard, it's going to be...
50 throws is a lot of passes.
Exactly. 15 went to Hearns, 12 went to Robinson.
I was saying, dividing those between not that many skilled players, he's going to see a lot of the ball.
Exactly. So it's Hearns and Robinson, like, you know, and Robinson's owned the majority of leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Hearns is probably only owned maybe in, like, what, 30, 40% of leagues. So definitely worth a pickup in an offense that's going to be behind a lot. It's going to throw a lot.
Speaking of offenses that are going to be behind a lot, Kenny Stills from the Dolphins had a decent game against the Jets. 8 targets, I think. I forget the exact stats. Might have had a touchdown.
No, he had a touchdown.
He had a touchdown. I think he had like 6 catches or something like that.
Allison was pissed because she wanted to be Landry.
Yeah, of course. Well, he was covered by Revis, so that wasn't really happening.
5 for 81 with 8 targets.
So, pretty solid line. I don't know what happened to Rashard Matthews, where he wasn't playing, it seemed like.
3 targets, 1 reception for 16 yards.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what you get, though. You mean, like, I like the pickup of Rashard Matthews. We talked about him yesterday. But you can't always be trusted. I mean, that's what happens when you pick up these kind of guys. I mean, they're...
I mean, it might just be a one-game aberration.
Of course, it could be. It,
you know, Kenny Stills might be going back to his doing, you know, next to nothing.
I mean, Kenny Stills had a...
And I said before, I don't like Tannehill at all.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a very good quarterback.
So you're touting a wide receiver with a quarterback you cannot stand.
I mean, I can't tout the receiver. Yeah. I'm not saying he's going to be like your, you know, second receiver. I'm saying as a depth, that bench pickup.
Someone I'd rather have over Kenny Stills, mm-hmm. Cecil Shorts.
Shorts, yeah.
6 receptions in each of his last 3 games.
Was that Houston?
That is consistency right there. 6 receptions in each of the last 3 games, getting targeted a ton with a team that seems like they're getting down a lot and they can't run the ball. I mean, they got down really fast in this Atlanta game, so they really had no time to run the ball.
I mean, but talking about QBs you can't stand or don't trust, Nallet or Hoyer?
Yeah, but 10 targets? 6 receptions, like I said, in the last...
I'd rather take 8 targets from a better QB than 10 targets from some Joe Schmo.
Yeah, but the thing is, Cecil Shorts is the number 2 receiver. You don't even know who the number 2 receiver is in Miami. Is it Matthews? Is it Jordan Cameron getting the targets? You know, like, who the hell is getting those targets? Is Devontae Parker going to come up and start making plays? I mean, with Houston, it's DeAndre Hopkins and Cecil Shorts. That's basically it.
Fair.
You know? So, 6 receptions each week is good for me. You know, 87 and a touchdown. I'm not complaining either.
Yeah, decent line as well.
How about with Steve Smith possibly being out, Kamir Aiken?
Had
a touchdown.
The American Idol, yeah.
Clay Aiken. He had 7 targets. Smith down. Who's their next receiver?
Until Breshad Perriman gets cleared.
Breshad Perriman is not going to play this year, I don't think.
You don't think?
He just had another setback.
Did he really?
It's like I think he got a setback. It was last week, not this Thursday, the one before.
It seems like every update about him is couple weeks. He's still limited in practice. Couple weeks.
Be shocked if Breshad Perriman played this year. It just there's too many setbacks at this point. It's like just get him healthy, have him 100% healthy for next year. You know,
but they're so starved for wide receivers.
But you want to possibly ruin your high draft pick to get him back on the field early? I mean, that's just...
If he can play, he can play.
I don't know. I mean, you're right. I mean, you're right in the fact that they do have nobody. I mean, they really have nobody. It's awful out there. But I guess even if Smith plays, 4 broken ribs, not going to be all, like, you know, explosive as he...
I don't know. I feel like his anger can just... overcome anything.
I mean,
that man's the angriest person alive.
I know, I understand, but I would still look at Aiken as a possible target.
No, I do like that. I totally glaze over that.
Look, I'm deep in these stats. You know me.
Mm-hmm.
A couple more. I actually have. I'll go really really quickly. Jamison Crowder. Wide receiver, Washington, 18 targets past 2 weeks, 13 receptions.
Hmm.
Looks like he's taken over, just, you know, filling in for DeSean Jackson pretty nicely, and DeSean may be back next this week. But who knows? The way the Washington's running the ball, playing, I mean, they're giving looks to everybody. I mean, Chris Thompson is the running back.
That's actually another guy that was on my list. Ridiculous. Chris Thompson, talking about pass-catching running backs.
I mean,
he's gotten almost an equal amount of touches between running and catching as... And Matt Jones has just been a disappointment ever since his breakout game.
It's, everyone won. Everyone saw that one game, and that's what happens. People see one game, and they
go nuts.
They pounce, and they immediately crown somebody, you know, a champion. So,
Champion of one game?
Champion of one game. All right. But, yeah, so Jamison Crowder looking good with getting a lot of looks from Kirk Cousins. Tavon Austin, I can't stand him, but 11 receptions last 2 games, 2 touchdowns last week, or I should say yesterday.
Yeah.
It looks like Nick Foles is sort of looking for him a little more.
I mean, he never really had a consistent quarterback to work with his previous years because Bradford was always hurt. Then it was like Sean Hill.
Austin Davis.
Austin, yeah, exactly. Like, it was just a like factor of just like random guys.
Terrible quarterbacks. Through,
yeah.
So,
so I don't know if this is exactly what you're saying. Like maybe he's gaining a little bit of chemistry. Maybe he's, you know, finally breaking through a little bit. Or if this is just like his one game like that, that he has every season and then goes back to doing nothing.
Yeah, it goes back to irrelevance. I mean, that's, I mean, Tavon Austin is like, you know, we're talking like deeper leagues here. I mean, like, if you're like in a 10, 12 team, don't look at Tavon. Don't.
These are pickups where not that many people have it.
Yeah, I mean, like,
because you don't want to be getting pickups for leagues where they're owned in like, you know, 50% of them or something.
Well, there are some. I mean, like the Hankerson maybe 50%, and the Hearns and the Duke Johnsons. But like, you have to go a little deeper sometimes. And this is like the deep of the deep right here. Is last one I have is Stephon Diggs.
Who
exactly? Wide receiver for the Vikings.
Uh-huh.
Six for 87 yesterday on 10 targets. Now, Mike Wallace had a decent game yesterday.
Yeah, he did have a really strong game.
Charles Johnson's hurt. Cordero Patterson is, I think, he fell into like, remember Ozzie Smith in The Simpsons?
Yes.
Fell into that. I think that's where Cordero Patterson is. He's in the same exact thing that Ozzie Smith is in. I mean, they got to throw somebody. You know, and like I said, this is deep with the D. I mean, you're looking 16.
What was his name again?
Stephon Diggs.
That's a sweet ass name.
Diggs too.
Oh, you gotta do it.
So, I mean, like I said, this is like really deep leagues. Desperation. Who knows? Stash him on your bench. Maybe him and Bridgewater have some sort of, you know, connection together.
I mean, and also, Bridgewater is the best quarterback of those guys that we mentioned. I feel like. Better than Cousins with Aiken.
Well, yeah, better than Mallett or Hoyer, better exactly. than Foles. The only one that's better is Ryan with Hankerson.
Oh, yeah. Of the deeper ones, I was saying, though. He's got the most consistent quarterback. So, even though it's some guy I've never really heard of, I might be more trusting of him to get a little bit, to get you more points because of the quarterback situation.
Yeah, no, that's understandable. Understandable. I mean, I mean, maybe Bortles, just because they throw like 9 billion times. But, yeah, no. I mean, like I said, this is deep in the deep, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just throwing it out there for people who were in those 16-team league or something like that. What?
16?
16.
Ugh.
Yeah. Our league might be 14 next year, so just if people come back.
Can we not?
Look, I'm just saying. You have any more pickups before we...
Nope.
Transition to the buy low candidates.
Most of my buy lows are just running backs. We mentioned them. One that you made a good case for was DeMarco Murray. He's got a very nice matchup. Chip Kelly, you know, got called out by him. He's going to get called out by a lot of Philadelphia for for sucking. I can't believe he just lost him. But anyways, DeMarco Murray is one. And... I want to say Carlos Hyde, but I don't want to say Carlos Hyde. That team is just so bad.
That offense looks in...
They're going like... Colin Kaepernick is just falling off so badly. It looks like they're just like bringing 8-9 guys up in the box, and he's got nowhere to go.
And it seems so promising after that week one.
I know. I was all ready for Carlos Hyde to just run wild.
And, I mean, they just can't get... I mean, he's definitely a buy low candidate because you could probably get him for nothing. The question is, you have to have a little bit of faith that they can get some sort of offense going, and
that's a lot. That's more faith than I think I would be willing to give.
If you can get him for 25, I guess this is the term used, like 25 cents on the dollar, like
yeah,
then I'd say maybe take it because they could turn it around. I mean, he does have some talent, so. DeMarco Murray, like you said before, I would absolutely buy low on him. I think you could find the scared owner and just rip him away.
Hopefully, whoever has him doesn't listen to this podcast.
Although, I'd rather a lot more people listen to this podcast, and then that's okay.
Why?
But I only have, I'll let you get back to your stable of running backs in a second. One of mine is Jarvis Landry. I know he's had no touchdowns yet, besides the punt return. So, no receiving touchdowns yet. Last week was a disaster. Although we actually did have a touchdown that was brought back for, I believe, offensive pass interference. And then he got himself a penalty when Darrell Revis picked him off on sportsmanlike penalty for arguing with the ref. I think best wide receiver of the bunch that they have.
They also run him in, you know, jet sweeps and, you know, other running plays, so he gets touches like that too.
And they, with the new head coach, I think they're gonna really open up this offense. I think they're gonna let Tannehill throw the ball. They're gonna give
fuck it.
They're gonna give Lamar Miller more running plays. I think
Lamar Miller is gonna be the biggest beneficiary of Joe Philbin getting out of there.
Well, probably because I think he really limited.
Because what they did against the Jets, I mean, I haven't seen their other games, but like they just ran like a couple times in the beginning. You got a couple yards, and then they just stopped it.
And just pass. But not like good passing either. Not like good design play. I don't know. So I think the new coaching staff will change it up a bit. Jarvis Landry will be a beneficiary, as well as Lamar Miller. So, but I love Jarvis Landry as a buy low. And one more I got from another one from Philly is Jordan Matthews. Past 2 weeks, been down. It was so funny. I was playing against Jordan Matthews this week. And I have Bradford, so like I was like, damn it, you know, every touchdown that Bradford's going to throw, I have a feeling it's going to go to Matthews.
But none of them.
First one, Riley Cooper. I was like, yes. Second one, it was like Brent Celek. I was like, yes.
Yeah, I didn't even realize he was still on the
team. And the third one, Miles Austin. I'm like, this is
all these
awesome.
Guys, you had no idea were still on teams.
This is so awesome. Yeah. I'm like, these three players who combined will probably have three touchdowns at the end of the year. Like, it was awesome. But, he's gonna get back on track. I have a feeling, especially this week versus the Saints. I have a nice feeling that Matthews will get a good number of looks. So if you could, at this point, like I said, 2 weeks in a row, bad weeks for Jordan Matthews. Find an owner who's scared. 50 cents on a dollar, grab Jordan Matthews.
50 cents on a dollar for this one.
Yeah, everyone has their own value, right? Everyone has their own.
Nah, you're saying because you said 25 for the other.
Well, because he's only worth 25 cents. you have any more running backs? Or that's
No, the only other one I was thinking of is C.J. Anderson, but I'm not even confident in that he's going to rebound that much.
Yeah, he's 10 cents.
Yeah, he's pretty low. I mean, the Denver running attack is just also very low. Besides the one breakout run by Hillman, they've done squat.
Yeah, it was that one, like, because I was talking on the show last night, and we were talking about Hillman, and, like, it was like, yeah, it looks like he had a great game, but it was only that one
just
run.
Just one run, yeah.
And besides that, it was very pretty. I mean, yes, it was a great run, 72 yards, but it was pedestrian. So, all right. Since we're done with that, let's get to a few of our mini rankings that we do for, you know, help you figure out which players start, you know, by position. So we'll do a couple of quarterbacks. This one's pretty good. And before we actually get started with that, let's just mention that Miami, Minnesota, the Jets, and Carolina all bye weeks.
All on buys.
So none of those players will be hurt. So if everyone's like, why didn't you mention Cam Newton? It's because he's not playing. All right. So let's see. I got a good one right here. We'll start with quarterbacks.
Okay.
Marcus Mariota at home versus Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Andy Dalton at home versus Seattle. Joe Flacco at home versus Cleveland. Okay, I was right with Mariota. And I'll do one more. We'll do Phillip Rivers at home versus Pittsburgh.
All right. Two of the guys that I would probably rank one and two are facing good defenses, so this is giving me a little bit of pause. I think I'm going to go... I don't think I'm going to put Flacco at the bottom, just because, like we said, the receiving situation is just
dreadful,
just awful. Even though Cleveland's defense has not been as good as it was last year, even with that, he's got no receivers. I'll put him at the bottom. Then I'll go Mariota 3. Rest of them will put a lot of pressure on him. I don't know, you know, rookie, you don't know how well he's going to handle it.
He's been handling the pressure pretty well so far.
That's true. But, you know, the blitz is in his face. Buffalo's probably going to be angry, wanting to get back after a bad loss to the Giants. you know, where they committed a lot of penalties, didn't play real well. Then I'll go
17 penalties or something like that.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. It seemed like every play there was a couple flags. Let's go Dalton 2 or Seattle and Rivers 1.
Interesting. See, I'm actually going to go a little different this time. Okay. I'm going to go Mariota 1.
Okay.
I like him off the bye week. Has been doing, you know, pretty decent every week. Has a
little bit increasing.
Rivers 2, Flacco 3, Dalton 4. Just because Dalton's going against Seattle, and I think Dalton's going to have an off game. And then
you think he's due for one?
This might be his off game, you know. And
you think that it's going to be a low scoring game where it's just going to be defense is going to slug it out, or
I could see it being a low score. I could see it being like a 17-16 game, like
so
something
not,
like
so not that many opportunities to get a lot of fantasy points.
Yeah, I think it. So I put him last, and I really like Mariota. One at home off a bye, you know. I don't know if you're interested, but I would take Mariota over all three of those quarterbacks if you're interested.
Mariota versus the field.
Mariota, yes, I'll do Mariota versus the field.
You got yourself a deal there.
I like it. That's a win right there. We went 1-1 by the way last week. I believe.
Oh, we did. I didn't.
I believe we did. Let me see that really fast. I think we. It was close, too. We had a barn burner with Latavius Murray versus Joseph Randle.
Did we really?
No, it was terrible. It was awful. It was... Latavius Murray did terrible. And Randle had the touchdown, which gave him more points. And you won with Fitzgerald over Jordan Matthews.
Who did squat.
Yeah. Fitzgerald was doing nothing for a while, but came on in the second half. All right, we'll do one more quarterback, and we'll get to running backs after this. Let's do, let's go up a little. Let's go up a little higher. Let's do Carson Palmer at Detroit.
Okay.
Sam Bradford, home versus New Orleans. Noodle Arm Peyton Manning, as they so call him, at Oakland.
Okay.
Or Eli Manning, home versus San Francisco, the dreaded San Francisco defense.
Alright, I like all these matchups, actually. Let's go Eli Manning 1, just San Francisco. Feel sorry for them.
Really? Eli 1, wow. Huh? No.
Let's go Bradford 2 versus New Orleans. That Saints team really, really sucks. Palmer 3, he's got Detroit on a short week. Defense not too good. And they're coming off a loss, so they're going to want to, you know, play extra hard. And Peyton Manning 4.
So that's why you put him 3, huh?
What? Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, Bradford's playing New Orleans. Yeah. I mean. And then Peyton Manning 4 versus Oakland, divisional game in Oakland. They was playing tough. That's where my rankings are.
That's tough. You know what? I think I'm gonna switch it up. I think I'm gonna go Palmer 1.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, they're gonna be pissed off the way they lost that game. And Detroit, like you said, coming off a short week, I think Arizona's gonna run through them. I go Bradford 2 at home versus New Orleans. Should be a good matchup. I'll go Elder Manning, Peyton 3, getting back on track, and I never trust Eli, so so Eli 4.
All right, well, I'll go Peyton has more points than... Oh, no. I mean, Eli will have more points than Peyton.
Than Peyton? No, yeah. I'll take Peyton in a heartbeat.
All right.
Even after this brutal performance. So there's more fantasy points, right?
Yep.
All right, so like I said, hit us at Twitter, at FFBC_podcast.
If we don't mention any of the guys that you have or...
Yeah.
Guys that you have a question about.
Yeah, just throw a couple names at us. They could be all quarterbacks. They could be quarterback, running back, you know, whatever. Just any mix of positions, and we'll rank them for you. We'll tell you who to start, who to sit, you know, who to drop, who to pick up, whatever you need. Next on to running backs. We'll drop it down pretty far. We'll do LeGarrette Blount at Dallas. Chris Johnson at Detroit. Danny Woodhead at home versus Pittsburgh. And Carlos Hyde at New York. Gigantes.
Alright. I'm going to put Chris Johnson number one. Like I said, basically the same reason as Palmer. Team's going to be angry. They want to come out. Detroit short week. Defense, not what it was in the previous couple years. Blount number two. Just because of the split with Deion Lewis. Dallas just gave up a huge game to Devonta Freeman. And I would have put him number one if he was the sole running back. But let's go with Blount number two. Then Woodhead number three versus Pitt. Pitt's going to be nice and rested. They play on Thursday night. Loss in, just a god-awful way.
That was a bad way to lose.
Yeah. They're going to want to come back and punish whatever. San Diego's got to go across the country. Or no. They're playing at home, right?
That's San Diego.
Interesting.
San Diego's nice and rented.
All right. So just all my other reasons besides that.
besides that non-reason.
Hyde number four. Real bad offense, giant, surprisingly good run defense, and that's why he's going to be number four of that group.
Yeah, I agree. I'll start at the bottom. I'll go Hyde four. All the reasons you said, Giants defense, rush defense looking good. San Francisco just can't seem to get anything done.
Probably going to be stacking like eight or nine in the boxes.
That's awful. I'm going to go Chris Johnson two.
Did you make fun of me?
Oh, yeah, I'm an idiot. No, I went four than two. I'm an idiot. I meant to go Chris Johnson three. I was going backwards, but then I decided to do that. You started with three last time or some shit like that. It was terrible.
Yeah, but I could keep track of four numbers. You can't count to four.
Look, it's a long day. I wasn't feeling good. All right. Carlos had four. Chris Johnson three. The expecting possible return of Ellington. Could cut into his carries. David Johnson, of course, has been cutting into some of his work time. So I think he's going to constantly lose a little bit of work. Two, Danny Woodhead. He's just so dynamic. Give him the ball.
He's just so scrappy.
He's
got so much grit.
A little white guy I have to call scrappy. That's the nick.
He's just a gym rat.
That's what it is. All things you're describing of a little white guy. That's what it is. And then, of course, LeGarrette Blount won, I believe. Like you said, Devonta Freeman just ran all over Dallas last week. And
you don't know if Sean Lee's going to be back. They're getting back.
I don't care if Sean Lee is back.
Still, it doesn't matter.
LeGarrette Blount, they're going to, he said Deion Lewis is going to get his, but they're just going to pound the rock right through Dallas. And I think LeGarrette's going to be the beneficiary of all those points. So I got him one. Anything you see this discrepancy or nothing to nothing catching your fancy, huh?
Nah.
All right, we'll do one other running back and then we'll hit the wide receivers. Let's go up a little higher and we'll do Carlos Williams at Tennessee. Your boy Justin Forsett home versus Cleveland. Joseph Randall at home versus New England. Or Mark Ingram at Philly.
All right. Well, let's go with Forsett number one. Hopefully him and that offensive line turn the corner. Got a good game underneath the belts, can keep that momentum going. Cleveland, not the best run defense. Then let's go Ingram number two. He's also a dual threat, solid pass catching. Although C.J. Spiller showed what he can do when he actually is involved in the offense. Actually, you know what? Let's go Ingram 3.
A little worried about C.J. getting a little more involved. At that 80-yard grab to win the game.
Also because I won't put Carlos Williams at 2. Carlos Williams 2. Let's go Ingram 3, Randall 4. I just think, as much as I don't want it to happen, I think New England's just going to jump out in front. They're coming off a bye. I think Dallas is going to have to throw a lot to try and get back to that game.
So you said, Forsett, Williams, Ingram, Randall?
That's correct.
Yeah, like the exact. I have the exact same. I think I do. It's. I think four sets, getting back on track. Williams is nice because he gets the, you know, ball. He can catch the ball pretty well, and
he's really the main option. He's
him and Charles. Him and Charles Clay. Seems like
out of the backfield. Yeah, I mean, four sets got Tyler Fair, kind of cuts into a little bit. Yeah. Ingram's got Spiller and Kyrie Robinson.
Yeah.
Randall's
got Run DMC
and Christine Michael.
All right, so all of them, right? Would you take DeMarco Murray over any of them?
Maybe Ingram and Randall.
Ingram and Randall.
Yeah, those top two I like.
I think I would take Murray over all of them.
Over all of them?
Yeah. Maybe not Forsett.
So everyone but Forsett?
Yeah. Just because first New Orleans, I think they're gonna run pretty well on New Orleans.
Well, then you should have included him in the list then.
I was trying to do a little. If you had these four, would you still take this guy over them?
Well, everyone but Williams and Forsett.
Trying to make it a little more interesting than just doing names. God, I'm trying to shit on my my thing over here.
It wasn't very well planned out.
It was very well planned out. All right. Let's go to wide receivers.
Okay.
We'll drop it down low, and we'll work our way up to another one. Let's do, how about this? Travis Benjamin at Baltimore. Vincent Jackson versus Jacksonville at home. Kendall Wright at home versus Buffalo. And let's do Golden Tate at home versus Arizona. Add another one. We'll just add names cause instead of making it more dynamic. Add John Brown versus Detroit. All
right. Let's go Kendall Wright. Number one sees a lot of targets from Mariota. And then we can go number two, V-Jax versus Jacksonville. It seems like Winston just kind of focuses on one receiver a game.
And last game it was...
Last week it was Jackson.
10 receptions for 147. It's nice. 15 targets.
So, maybe that's part of his, growth. He's focusing on one guy, and then he'll learn to spread the ball around a little bit.
This week he'll be Mike Evans.
That's what I'm hoping it's not going to be. But let's go Jackson number two. Number three, let's go John Brown. Got to keep that hype train rolling. Let's go number four, Travis Benjamin. He hasn't really done much since his breakout couple games.
6 for 79, not terrible.
That's not bad. Alright, yeah, let's go forward. Travis Benjamin, 5, Golden Tate. Golden Tate's really, really dropped off since last year.
I don't think it's his fault. I think it's Stafford. And
the Detroit offense has really dropped off since last year.
I wouldn't play. I think he's still good if he was on a different offense right now. So you had Golden Tate 5?
Yes.
Alright, I would do my boy John Brown 1. Can't get away from him.
Nope.
Kendall Wright, too. It's really close. I actually really like Kendall Wright as well. I think Kendall Wright's going to have a nice game at home. Him and Mariota together will have a nice game. I'll do Vincent Jackson 3, Benjamin 4, Tate 5.
Pretty similar again.
So I think we just switched Brandon Wright, right? You had Vincent Jackson 2.
I had Vincent Jackson 2.
All right. I mean, it's still up there. I mean, I think... Man, Kendall Wright's really going to have a nice game this week. And if I wasn't so stuck on John Brown,
anytime you bring up his name, you got to put him one.
Look, there were a lot of times. I've told people to start others over John Brown and on Twitter. Yeah, it was tough. It was tough. He had a good game, though. He had a, if he got in the end zone, it would be, 7 for 75. And he actually had one rushing attempt for 13 yards, so he had another point onto that.
That's nice.
But, Kendall Wright's going to have a nice game. And, like I said, Golden Tate on that offense just no good. All right, let's move up one more level and let's see if we agree on this. Let's do James Jones home versus the Rams.
Okay.
Macklin home versus Chicago. Mike Evans versus Jacksonville at home. Or Amari Cooper at home versus Denver. And then since you like doing the five, we'll do Larry Fitzgerald versus Detroit. You don't like me sneaking names on you at the
well,
end.
No, right? I mean, like, you're the one that brought up the five. Like, I'm fine with four if you want to do it.
Well, I was going to sneak a name at the end afterwards, but you don't seem to like that idea.
But no, just do them all at once.
Okay, fine.
Because then I got to rearrange it. All right. Let's go Macklin 1. Chicago Bears, the whooping boy of the league. Then... let's go James Jones 2. I'd say still look out for Devonta Adams, what his status is.
I think even his status, man, I mean, he just looks good, James Jones. Man, I was thinking you wouldn't believe it at the beginning of the season.
Nope.
Giants cut him.
Nope, but he kind of has to be cut because he wasn't going to play every down like he was on the Packers.
Dumb. Whatever.
Let's go Evans 3 versus Jacksonville. Fitz 4. And Cooper 5. Denver's defense is really, really good.
Yeah, their pass defense is nuts. So that's, I would agree, Cooper. As much as I like Amari Cooper,
Akeem Talib is just going to
be all over him. Down week for Oakland's offense. So yeah, Cooper 5. I would do Evans 4.
Yeah, that's what I'm between Evans 4 or Fitz 4.
I think Fitz, no, I think Macklin 3, James Jones 2, Fitz 1. That's what I'm looking
at. So you're going John Brown and Fitz.
You know, go off on
saying,
Detroit.
So like Arizona's going to score like 60 points.
They don't have to. You can score 28.
I know.
Go 2 touchdowns each. Boom. Done. Game over.
Seems reasonable.
Right? It seems very logical in my opinion. But I think Arizona is going to, like you said, they're going to be angry after they lost that game. And even Teron Matthew said, he goes, he watched the film right after the game and he says, they didn't do anything special. We beat ourselves. Like, he's pissed. Like,
I mean,
that defense is pissed.
A lot of players say that.
I know, but that defense is pissed though. Then they're going to come out firing, and that's going to give the offense nice time to throw. All right, we'll do one set of five tight ends.
Ugh, I hate the tight end one.
Why?
Because
it's fun.
It's so close. I know. It's, just...
it's fun. I said. All right. All right. How about this? We'll just do the ones that most people play. We'll do Charles Clay versus Tennessee.
Okay.
Antonio Gates coming back. At home versus Pittsburgh. Tyler Eifert at home versus Seattle. Delanie Walker at home versus Buffalo. And we'll do your boy Gary Barnage. At Baltimore,
who had
a nice game.
He had a nice game this week, or this past week, too.
Another 6 receptions, 75 yards, and a touchdown.
All right, well...
they should start calling him Gary Carnage. That's what he's leaving all over the field, man.
That's super corny, but I kind of like it.
Right?
All right, let's put Gates 5 right away.
Really?
Yep.
No faith in him coming back.
Nope, none at all. Then we can go... let's go Delanie Walker 4.
What? You're putting Barnage up there.
A little bit. Actually, yeah, let's go. Yeah, Walker 4.
I'll stick with Barnage.
Barnage 3.
Oh, man.
Clay 2. And Tyler Eifert 1. Things do for a good, big game.
I'm on the opposite. I'm putting Barnage 5.
Really?
It's over for Barnage.
No respect for the Carnage?
There's no Carnage in Barnage. It's over. I'll do... Ah, man, it's tough. I'm going to do Gates 4. Like I said, maybe one game to come back. Delaney 3. Eifert 2. Clay 1. Man, they... I was watching that Giants-Buffalo game, and that's all... It seemed like every time Taylor was throwing the ball, it was to Clay. And they even threw a touchdown to Clay that got called back.
Yeah, well, it's because
of
Buffalo couldn't run a penalty with that, or run a play without getting a penalty.
So, I mean, I was glad that happened because I was playing against Tyrod and Clay. So, but no, he's really looking for him, and I think he's a man. He's a really big
player. Honestly, I just think he's more explosive. He can get you that big game.
I love Tyler Eifert, don't get me wrong, but the last two games, I mean, man.
I know, he isn't.
No receptions a week ago.
Yeah.
Touchdown.
Taken away.
But 3 for 69, which is nuts. I mean, that's 23 yards a catch is fantastic. But,
yeah, so he's more explosive, can get you, you know, those, you know, he can get you those random big games. He's also going to get you those, you know, zero catch games. But,
no, I'm always all in.
That's why I put him on the board.
All right, let's say before we wrap up, let's throw some...
Daily Fantasy?
Yep.
Yeah, before they get shut down for insider trading, basically.
And then we can get out of here because we are running late.
As always.
Like always.
All right, my quarterback is Carson Palmer. 6,600 versus Detroit.
Yeah, there you go. See,
don't force that down. We talked about the Cardinals a lot this week.
I do. I feel like. Well, because they're going to be awesome, and Cardinals are awesome.
Yeah. Averages around, like, 24 points a week. Like we've been saying all episode, good matchup versus Detroit defense on a short week.
Although Detroit's looking pretty decent right now, only giving up 13 to Seattle. Wow, only a little less than 2 minutes left in the fourth. Wow. All right,
who's your QB?
Mariota, baby. 6,000 coming off a bye. 2 out of the last 3 weeks, had at least 23.5 points. Going against Buffalo's pass defense, who's not that great. The run defense is better.
My running back is Rashad Jennings. 4,500 facing the Niners. Bad team. The touches on the running back are still fairly evenly split, but he does way more with his touches, and you would think Vereen would be more involved in the pass game, but...
He should be, but he's not.
Jennings is getting, like, you know, he broke that one pass, he's getting a decent amount of passes, so I'll go with Jennings versus a bad San Francisco.
How much?
4,500.
Not bad. So actually for the same exact price, I go LeGarrette Blount, who's, again, coming off a bye. So he did, the week before the bye, he gets the Cowboys, who let Devonta Freeman roll them. So,
I was thinking of Deion Lewis.
And that's another good one.
I think he's like 47.
No, I think he's a little more than...
Was he higher?
Yeah, I think like 47. I think he was a little above LeGarrette, but I'll take the 45 for a guy who I think is probably going to get 2 touchdowns this week.
And my receiver is Doug Baldwin, 4,200 versus Cincinnati.
Has a touchdown tonight.
Yeah, does have a touchdown tonight. Getting pretty consistent looks. Looks like he's turning into Wilson's favorite receiver. But yeah, Doug Baldwin, 4,200 versus Cincinnati. Should be a good game coming up.
And like I said, cheap price. So
yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, like, this is in case you want to go out and spend a lot for one of the big guys.
Well, yeah, exactly. I went a little higher. I was looking at the lower end, but I really wanted to go with Mike Evans for 6,100. Like I said, I think Winston targeting on one receiver.
So instead of like splitting the looks evenly between games, he just gets them all those looks at one game and then
switches over to the other side. And I think Evans was getting covered by, Josh Norman this past week. So pretty really good corner.
Uh-huh.
For the Panthers, and that might have been the reason why Jackson got a lot of his targets and looks. So I think versus Jacksonville secondary, Evans could break out and get those targets like he was 2 weeks ago where he got 17. So 6,100 is pretty decent play for
pretty good price for him, yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, that's basically it for DraftKings. And like I said, with all the start sits and the rankings, you could always hit us up at FFBC Podcast. On Twitter,
underscore podcast.
Underscore podcast. I'm sorry. And I've said it so many times in the past, like, day or two. I should know it by heart. I should know it just roll off the tongue. But, yeah, tweet us any of your questions, anything fantasy football related, and we will be sure to answer them for you. You could also email us any questions at podcastffbc@gmail.com. And if you ever get a chance, maybe we'll read them on.
Do we have a mailing address, too, where they can send us letters?
Yes, yes. We do have a mailing address if you'd like to send them to my house. And, of course, do not forget to rate, download, and subscribe to this on iTunes. And also, do not forget to check out this Sunday night coming, That Fantasy Show on VOC Nation, 8:30 to 10:30 p.m. live. I should be on starting around 9 p.m. And it's a good show. And you can actually call in and ask any of your fantasy questions live on air. And it's pretty good fun discussion and forum that we usually have. So definitely check that out. And I guess we will talk to you next week.